official sponsor of the College Football Playoff.
It is a Friday edition of the Gym Class, the eve of Iowa State's coming up tomorrow, and we will talk about that. Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 will be joining us, and we are also going to be taking your phone calls and texts on your predictions for Iowa State's. That's coming up here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class, so stay with us here on 1600 AM and the North Gym, 107.5 FM. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Friday edition Gym Class. Today, we are on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, along with 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM listeners, you're getting the tailgate tour, the LaJames International College tailgate tour from down at Iowa City West, where they're hoping to get that in before the rains hit, the first round of the rains. Darkening skies off to our west here in our KGYM studios. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Alex Kuhn not with us. We are Alexless today. He is down running the LaJames International College tailgate tour. He will bring you Iowa City West and Cedar Falls play-by-play tonight. Myself, John Hegarty, Dennis Kanak will be at Kingston Stadium. We hope without any delays, as it'll be Cedar Rapids Jefferson for their homecoming, taking on the Linmar Lions coming up tonight. And we'll talk some high school football here to start things off. We'll also talk mainly Iowa and Iowa State. We will get to that coming up here in just a little bit. And Mark, we already are having a few games that are being, couple of them out in the central, north central part of the state have been postponed. Couple have been moved. Couple have been moved up. We went through this drill last year in week one, and that didn't turn out so well, as we never got those games in, some of them. Our first game last year, we never got off the ground anyway. We're hoping that's not going to be the case tonight.
Yeah, really a pretty good set of games in the area tonight, and we're going to update you on the weather here in a second. Scott mentioned two of the games that KGYM will have. Ames and City High will get together. I really like that. Iowa State, Iowa Week. And the two high schools,
yep,
Ames and City. They did it last year.
They done it the last. This is the third year they play for the Little Cyhawk Trophy.
Indeed, I really like that.
I think it's pretty cool.
Another intra-city game, Linmar. Well, you mentioned Linmar and Jefferson, but I'm interested in Marion. Marion got off the schneid, lost the or ended the losing streak last week. Now faces Central DeWitt at home. Washington and Bettendorf is going to be a heck of a game, but as you mentioned, some of these could be in jeopardy.
Yeah, so we have some rain going through right now. Taking a look at the National Weather Service radar, no watches or warnings in our area. There was a severe thunderstorm warning in central Iowa, just north of the Ames area, between Ames and Fort Dodge. This line is going to produce some brief heavy rain that's going to go through the Cedar Rapids metro area here, probably within the next 10, 15 minutes or so. And it's not going to last very long. But the bigger line, the bigger problem is behind. And that is a line that is right now, as I said, approaching the Ames-Fort Dodge area, just north of Des Moines, stretching all the way back toward the Omaha Council Bluffs area. And it's moving to the east and slightly to the northeast. And that's got some reds and oranges and other bright colors you don't want to see on a Friday night involved with it. So keep your fingers crossed. All around the state of Iowa, we don't want to go through that again, which we did in week number one last year.
Well, if you're going out to the games, go prepared, obviously, and keep an eye peeled to the sky. Lightning certainly is the biggest risk, and I think administrators take that into effect well in advance of any approaching possible lightning in the area.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got Linmar and Jefferson coming your way tonight. And that will be out at Kingston Stadium. Of course, in view of all of the events that took place earlier today at Jefferson High School, we got to put high school football in perspective tonight. Obviously, if you don't know, there was a young man, I believe 15-year-old. We don't know many of the details, who suffered a self-inflicted gunshot wound outside Jefferson today. They went on lockdown earlier on. And, you know, that's the information that we have at this point. There's all sorts of things flying around the internet, I know, but I'm not going to say anything until we know, we hear from Cedar Rapids schools, hospitals, police, whatever the case may be. Although, the only thing we know is that a young man tried to take his life today. Kind of puts high school football into perspective tonight. I guess if there is a silver lining, the Jeff and Linmar students, and I think Kennedy, Wash, in fact, I think all the Metro students sections are going to wear purple tonight, which is suicide prevention color. So I know the Jefferson and the Linmar students are going to be doing that. They've put aside their original motifs or ideas or whatever, and they're all going to wear purple tonight. Kind of a coming together, and I guess that's the one good thing that came out of this, if there is such a good thing.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers go out to that young man's family. I mean, you just start the day and perhaps say goodbye to your son and not thinking it's going to be the last time. And it kind of hit close to home for me because I have a grandchild who's a freshman, pretty much the same age as this young man. And I was on the phone this morning, and she did text me, and I talked to her mom. And, I mean, it just – she was far away from what happened. But still, I mean, it's close enough to home that gives you pause. And but mainly, I think about that young man and his family and whatever was – may have been troubling him. Who knows what the circumstances are. But, yeah, it's I think the administrators acted swiftly, locking down the school about 8 o'clock this morning, and acted appropriately, at least all I know.
Yeah, so our thoughts and prayers going out to the families of all involved today, and they're gonna play a football game tonight. It's Jefferson's homecoming. They'll do the best they can getting through there as that school kind of is going through a rough day today. There's no doubt about that, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that coming up this evening out at Kingston Stadium. Hoping to have the pregame show at about 7 o'clock tonight, about 7:20 or thereabouts with the kickoff. Two teams looking for their first wins of 2016. Lots of good games, as you mentioned, around the state and around the area. We will have all the scores tonight. It could be Jeff could be in for a tough night tonight. I'm just going to throw that out there in case he's listening, because with all the rain, all the thunder and lightning, it could be a tough night for the J.D. Byrider scoreboard show. But we're going to get through it.
Game we didn't mention, isn't the top two teams in the state playing tonight, Dowling and Valley?
Central Iowa's calling it the game of the century.
Oh.
Valley and Dowling, number one versus number two. And I think it's there's no doubt number one versus number two. And we will see what happens. Dowling's kind of had the upper hand over the last couple years, but we shall see. They will play tonight, and we will see what happens when everything comes off of that. So that will be one of the scores we keep track on tonight as well. We got golf going on right now. We need to let people in on.
We do the third leg of the FedEx Cup. It's called the BMW Championship in Carmel, Indiana at Crooked Stick. The 70 players, a no-cut tournament, playing, trying to get in the top 30 for the Tour Championship, which will be played in 2 weeks. Right now, your leader, Roberto Castro, second straight 7-under par 65. He is tied for the lead with Dustin Johnson, who is still on the course. He's 9-under for the day through 16 holes, 14-under for the tournament, tied with Castro. A lot of low scores today. Zach Johnson, you would think he made a bit of a move with a 3-under par 69, but he's only up three spots. Still tied for he's tied for 44th right now, minus two for the tournament, and right now 58th in the FedEx Cup points list. So obviously Zach's going to have to make a huge move this weekend to try to get in the top 30.
Herculean move. I cannot believe the scores that are being put up at Crooked Stick. I mean, I've seen this course.
It's a major championship course.
And I think when Daly won it, he was just... I'd have to go back and check, but I don't think he was too far into double digits. They've already passed what John Daly was at. Now, granted, the setup is not major championship for this week, but it's still darn tough. And these are the best golfers in the world. And they're showing it. They're showing it right now. 14 under par. Dustin Johnson has a chance to go in and shoot a 59 if he keeps it up. Going to have to do some Herculean stuff in the last three couple holes, but he has a chance to do it anyway. And that'd be a 59 or a 60 on a major championship golf course.
1991, John Daly won the PGA Championship at Crooked Stick with a score of 12 under par.
12 under par.
Three clear of Bruce Litsky.
We all
so right
remember.
Now we have two players at 14 under through 36 holes.
Through 36 holes. Wow. That's some pretty amazing stuff. Not as amazing as this. First of all, congratulations to the Cedar Rapids Colonels as they advance on to the Western Division Championship playoffs. They polished off Wisconsin last night, 2-0 with a 3-1 victory at home. Game one will be Saturday. Time to be determined, because I believe, and I talked to Doug Nelson last week, and they were kind of going, you know, we're really looking forward to the playoffs, hoping we win, but we already know that we're going to have the second round first game, and it's going to be Iowa State Day. So they have it at 4 right now?
Colonels posted it 18 hours ago on their Twitter feed, 4:05 first pitch for game one of the Western Division Championship.
Yeah. Hey, make it a double dip, right? Get some baseball and go get some football then, I guess is the best way to go about it. Your fun fact of the evening, Mark Dukes. You've heard of the racing aficionados out there know about this. The IMCA Supernational is going on at Boone. Huge thing. 800 drivers and more from around the country. Some from outside the country are there. Jeremiah Davis covering it for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. They had some rain go through yesterday in Boone. That did not deter the folks at the IMCA Supernationals.
Now, this is dirt track, right?
This is dirt track racing. What time did the A-Main from yesterday go off? Do you know? Did you see?
What time was it scheduled?
It was probably it's never scheduled. It's probably close to midnight. Do you know what time the green flag fell on the A-Main for the Supernationals?
Tell
I'm not going to say last night.
Tell me.
4:19 this morning.
And there weren't even friends and family in the stands.
Oh, yes, there
was.
Were.
There?
That's the crazy part. There were a lot of people.
Yeah, 94-42 said 4:04, so about that vicinity.
Yeah, I talked to Jeremiah. 4:19. After 4 o'clock in the morning, the final race at Boone went off this morning from last night.
Pretty avid fan of any sport to watch it at 4 o'clock in the morning. Huh?
Oh, man.
I refer to the text line. That's our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Jerry coming on board effective yesterday, and I'm really pleased to have Jerry Ask Investment Services sponsoring that text line. It's 366-1600.
Yeah. I'm going to get your Iowa State thoughts on the text line as well. And we'll do that after we talk with Scott Docterman. Don't forget, all this week, including today, we've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack to award one of our lucky listeners out there. Just keep listening, and before 4 o'clock today, we will give you an opportunity to win a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, and some KGYM prizes as well. So stay tuned. We will have that for you coming up here in just a little bit. But we're going to talk to Scott Docterman from the Land of 10. We'll talk Iowa and Iowa State with Doc when we return on the Friday edition of the Gym Class, 1600 AM and the North Gym today, 107.5 FM, KGYM.
Don't put off your paving project any longer. Cooler weather will be here sooner than you think. Pate Asphalt handles commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
play the greens, and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $22. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekend evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $22 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
Kevin Kugler here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. James Lofton and I get the Sunday night season started with a matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots. Can Arizona's top-rated offense from last year pick up where they left off? Or will Bill Belichick's Patriots find a way to win without suspended quarterback Tom Brady? Join us to find out and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
NFL football presented by Mediacom, Arizona and New England. Sunday night at 6:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
We are back. It is the Friday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Don't forget, tomorrow we've got pre- and post-game coverage of Iowa and Iowa State coming your way. Pre-game, and that will be live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. Myself, Mark Dukes, Tyler Ryder, Todd Brommelkamp, Alex Kuhn will all be at Coach's Corner beginning at 4:30 until 6 o'clock. And then after the final gun, Iowa-Iowa State postgame coming your way from the same locale, and that will be immediately following the game.
Poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Who wins tomorrow in Iowa City? Would it be Iowa, Iowa State, or bar owners, liquor stores, and law enforcement? Thanks to the wit of Todd Brommelkamp for that poll question.
Indeed. A guy that will be there, taking it all in a night game that was never going to be another night game between Iowa and Iowa State, is Scott Docterman, formerly of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Now, we welcome him from the land of 10. Scott, how you doing?
Not too bad. Enjoying this Friday. How about yourself?
Well, not hoping that the rain holds off, but I think we're going to lose on that account. But did you ever think we'd see another Iowa State night game?
Not really. I remember just a few years ago talking to Gary Barta about it. He kind of hemmed and hawed and said, well, I just don't think it's a good idea for these two fan bases to mingle at night in Iowa City. And I think it was about 2012, maybe, when he told me that. So I expected this one to never reach that level. But when you're dealing with the television networks, if you don't want something, you better have a good reason why. And in Iowa's case, it's just really hard to turn it down. I mean, Michigan and Ohio State could turn something like that down. But Iowa, you better capitalize on it now, because who knows what might happen in a year or two. And maybe Iowa slumps a little bit and really wants a night game, and now they could go back to BTN and say, look, we really didn't want to have this game at night, but you made us do it, so we really need to have a game at night in 2018 or 19 or something like that. So it's gonna. I would say on your poll question, definitely see. Bartenders and the like in Iowa City and Coralville are going to be the winners tomorrow night.
I hope everybody plays nice tomorrow night, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty. It's going to be pretty crazy. I hope the fans are smart. Enjoy yourselves. Do what you got to do. But don't drive drunk and don't get any fights. I imagine there's going to be a few though that probably go beyond that.
Scott, what are your thoughts about the Hawkeyes versus your expectations after Week One against Miami?
Offensively, I think that in some ways maybe they exceeded them. I mean, I thought they would win and win decisively, and they did against Miami, Ohio. But the execution and efficiency on offense was probably a little bit better than I thought it would be. I mean, in the first half, C.J. Beathard was 10 of 11, and his only incompletion was originally ruled a fumble out of the end zone by Riley McCarron. On replay, I think they kind of got a gift on that one. But, the running game, 200 yards, five rushing touchdowns. I mean, it just really looked, crisp, efficient. The blocking was there. I mean, everything you want. Defensively, they looked a little sideways, especially stopping the run. And Miami of Ohio did what it needed to do to just kind of keep in the game. And, they ran the ball effectively with Josie Jewell out of there and Parker Hesse out of there. They controlled the clock. Now they went to a real slow tempo after a while, which was helpful. But I think I was a little surprised by the defense. And even without Jewell, I thought that they would be able to play better. So now, granted, they only scored 21 points, but still, it was a performance which I think it showed that they've got some work to do on that side of the ball.
Looking at Iowa coming out of the chute in the game against Miami, Ohio, there were holes that you, me, and Mark could have ran through. The offensive line was terrific. The execution really was very good in that early portion of last Saturday's game.
Yeah, it was. There was no doubt about it. The way that they played, I mean, everything they did was effective. And it's everything from the big plays, you know, the flea flicker and, you know, Beathard throws off his back foot and still gets it there. Just a perfect pass, great catch by Germanic Smith, to downfield blocking. I mean, the wide receiver screens, and you had Riley McCarron taking out cornerbacks, and you had Germanic Smith blocking downfield with LaShawn Daniels going 43 yards. I mean, they even had the wrong running back in the game on that play, and there he is. He still goes for 43 yards, and Germanic Smith blocks his guy for 15 yards down the field. There's a couple of small things to nitpick about. I've heard it all week, you know, lack of getting the tight end involved and that sort of thing. But I think that's small potatoes to the bigger picture. And, the second half things changed a little bit. That typically happens. I mean, you get out to a big lead, 35-7 on the first series of the second half. You just kind of expect things to kind of unwind down a little bit. But, offensively from the start, they were really in sync.
Scott, what's your latest on the availability of Parker Hesse, the defensive end, and Jay Shield, a wide receiver?
Sounds like Jay Shield is going to play. That's the latest I've heard, that they're getting him in. And if he's as good as what they think he was during during fall camp. We didn't get a chance to see him. He was out the day at the Kids' Day practice. But they've got a really good 1-2 punch there at split end, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Shield's that good, and the way Germanic Smith played on Saturday, he certainly is. If they, try to get him on the field at the same time with Matt Vandenberg as part of that three wide receiver set. Parker Hesse, it sounds like it's, I would say, questionable at best. Ferentz on his radio show the other night really kind of downplayed his potential for getting in the game. And, with hamstring strains, you want to be careful with them. Still early in the season. So I would, at this point, I would be, unless he feels much better in warm-ups, I'd be surprised if he plays.
Scott, the internet rumor du jour on a Friday is that James Daniels is nicked and might not go tomorrow. If that's the case, maybe Lucas LeGrand, the Dubuque senior product, steps in. But have you heard anything concrete about that?
Nothing concrete. I've heard the same thing that's been going on there. Daniels might be out for a couple of weeks. I checked with a few people who had the same thing, like a meniscus type tear. And the two options really that they have there are one, Lucas LeGrand starts at center and keeps Sean Welsh at guard, or Sean Welsh worked at center, all spring and a lot of the summer. So, and then maybe somebody like Keegan Render from Indianola will get a start there. They like both of those players, LeGrand and Render. The one challenge that either one of them has, though, is Iowa State's best defensive lineman, DeMond Tucker, right over the nose. And, if you're getting their first start and first real action against a legitimate team, that's not an easy player to compete against. But, either way, it's you got to do what you got to do. And I imagine we might see a little bit of both of them in the lineup at some point.
Scott, I want to get your take on a discussion we had on the post game last week, and that was playing so many true freshmen, especially Nathan Stanley at quarterback and Tokes Akinrabadi.
Very good, Mark,
at running back. I'm getting that down.
You are getting that down.
It's
That's
not
good.
Easy. But, if Beathard goes down, Kirk Ferentz is going to look brilliant. If a bunch of running backs go down, Kirk Ferentz is going to look brilliant. But I guess your take on it, because I didn't necessarily agree with it.
I'm a little bit more conservative by nature. I remember being asked about that last week, and I thought if late in the game they would just kind of grit their teeth and go, no, we just can't do it. You just got to leave them there. But it does show that they're all in. They're all in on this season. And, we've seen situations with running backs where I remember 2010 when I worked for the Gazette and writing this you know, triple-headed monster running back with Jewel Hampton, Brandon Wagner, and Adam Robinson. And by the end of the year, none of them were on the team. you know, and so I can understand getting Toks Akinrabade in a little bit. He's kind of the real deal. I mean, talking to the other players, they said, you know, hey, this guy could do some good things. He's got kind of the blend of size and strength and speed, and you know, he might climb the ladder a little bit the way things are going. But you know, Nathan Stanley obviously is the most, you know, controversial of the bunch because he's a quarterback. But, you know, there's two lines of thought. You know, one, if he's your second best quarterback, get him in the game, let him get experience, because, you know, with the way C.J. Beathard plays, you know, at some point you may need that number two. And if he's the second best guy, you might as well get him used to taking snaps and getting into the game and what have you. But I probably would have leaned on the other direction. I probably would have gone with Tyler Wiegers and let him, you know, or Drew Cook for that matter, and let him hand off the ball, throw a pass or two, and try to keep Nathan Stanley on the shelf. Because now, you know, I mean, playing quarterbacks is a big poker game from time to time, and you don't want to look beyond this year, but when you look ahead, you know, what does it say to Tyler Wiegers? I mean, next year Beathard graduates, you'll then, if you're putting Nathan Stanley in right now, you're saying he's the odds-on favorite for next year. You don't just blow a red shirt for that. And so you're telling Tyler Wiegers that really you're starting in second place again next year. So maybe some transfers. You know, any kind of possibility for Drew Cook to move a position, you know, he'd be good at a lot of different positions. That's probably out the window too. So I would have played it a little closer to the vest, but it does show they think 2016 matters a whole lot, and it's better for Nathan Stanley to get a little action now. I think it'll pay off later.
I wonder if this entered into the thinking that the 16, this freshman class and the next incoming class are really highly thought of, and maybe if you have any question, maybe cause some or create some separation between the two classes.
It could. You're right. You know, that's happened in a lot of sports, and football among them. Basketball certainly has happened, you know, where you just want to kind of get a couple of a year or two between them. But I also think, you know, and I think they were smart in playing. Hey, best players are going to play. Manny Rugamba, you know, he's the nickelback. He's in there. And, you know, Monty Hooker, hey, he can play special teams. Monty Jones, they have no problem with him playing linebacker. But I also think you got to look back a little bit to, you know, the classes they recruited in 2013 and 14 and the attrition that they've taken. I mean, they've had a ton of players leave, you know, a lot of backup people in the secondary and stuff. And some of that's just bound to happen. I mean, players get unhappy, they get homesick, they don't like their position on the team, they're going to leave. But I think it was a little bit beyond what you really need. And you know, right now, all is well. But if they lose a couple of games and it's because, you know, they only have a true freshman in there as a backup, you know, look at defensive tackle, for instance, you know, then I think you could start to point the finger back at, you know, hey, you know, why did 10 players, I think it is, out of 2013 class transfer? That's a pretty heavy number. So I think that's something that bears watching throughout this season.
Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 joining us at 3:31. Friday edition of the Gym Class. We're joined again by 106.3 FM listeners on the South Gym. They've got rain and lightning moving through in Iowa City, so we've had to shut down the tailgate. That's depressing right there. But welcome aboard as we talk with Scott Docterman about Iowa State. Let's talk about the Cyclones. Obviously not the start that Iowa State wanted for the Matt Campbell era. But at least over the last 10 to 15 years, this has been a very, very healthy rivalry between Iowa and Iowa State. Just because Iowa State lost last Saturday night, what are your thoughts about it as they come over to Iowa City?
Yeah, it doesn't really change what happens in this game. We've seen it, you know, several different times. I think back 2007 was the one where it kind of, and that was a big shock to me. And I don't really get shocked very often. So, you know, that year, Gene Chizik's first year, same type of scenario, a lot of optimism. They lose to Kent State, and they lose to UNI, and Iowa beats, I think, Northern Illinois and Syracuse. And it was their vote, you know, so the game was at Jack Trice, but it was kind of a disparity in you know, results of nothing else. And then, you know, Iowa State ends up winning 15-13 on a, you know, shaggy field goal there at the end. And so that kind of tells you that this game matters. It matters to both teams. And the way that Iowa State played, I mean, that's just not acceptable for them. I think Matt Campbell struck the right tone this week right after the game and said, you know, hey, we've got to quit disappointing the fan base here. I mean, they made a lot of mistakes. They had a lot of penalties, turnovers, just played poorly. And I think, you know, they need to have a lot of growth here. But, you know, but I like the tone that he struck after the game. I like the message that he has. I mean, you know, both with Paul Rhodes and even before that a little bit with Dan McCarney, you had guys who were rah-rah guys, just great, you know, related to the players and stuff. But sometimes when you get that rah-rah approach, you can go flat if things don't work out well. And typically that happened a lot, you know, especially with Paul in the last few years. So I like that, you know, Campbell's approach is a little bit more like Ferentz than those two, and I think that'll serve him well. Now, going into this game, again, this is quite a disparity in talent, in experience, and, you know, just about every key category. It's going to be really difficult for Iowa State to run the football, despite what Iowa did last week because of Josie Jewell, and they've got a great running back. To me, what Iowa State has to do to be able to compete with Iowa is on offense, sustain drives, probably get Joel Lanning to get the ball out of his hands very quickly, get guys in space. And if that means, you know, just running crossing routes and you hit, you know, Butler or Lazard and let them run with the ball. That's the one way where they, on offense, maybe they can control the clock a little bit and maybe they can, you know, explode and get a few big plays that way. But that, to me, is really Iowa State's best punch on this game because it's going to be, you know, in about every other category, Iowa is definitely the favorite.
News earlier this week as well was what amounts to a six-year extension for Kirk Ferentz. A 10-year deal going through 2025, as you know, Scott. I wonder your thoughts on the timing of this and the decision overall.
Well, we knew this one was in the works. I mean, I remember I was at a going away party for Brent Balbinot, and then, you know, Kirk Ferentz was there, so was Neil Cornrich, and the next day we see, you know, Gary Barta and Bruce Harrell going into the football complex. So we knew that there was a lot of discussion, and it was only a matter of time when it was going to happen. And you know, what I think Iowa did was they decided, you know what, we want Kirk Ferentz. We want Kirk Ferentz to retire here. We want to make him a statue coach. He's on the same level as Fry and Evashevsky and those guys. And they wanted to make that commitment. Now, I can understand the fans being a little nervous about this because just a year ago about this time, we were wondering, hey, you know, if Iowa afford the buyout, are things trending downward? But I think there was such an uptick in the program. And it starts, of course, with, you know, going undefeated in the regular season last year, going to the Rose Bowl. But you look at the recruiting that they've done, you know, the new $55 million facility and the growth of programs making. And you want to make that commitment to Kirk Ferentz, not just as, you know, to keep him at Iowa, but just to say, you're our guy. And a lot of that on Ferentz's end, he didn't take that much more money. It's just, you know, more of an extension. It's just, you know, he added a little bit more security to his coaches. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to last that long. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe 6-7 years down the road, maybe he retires because he could do that, you know. But I don't know. I'm not saying I'm agnostic on what actually took place, but I can understand it. And I think, you know, by and large, I think it was probably a good deal for Iowa.
Yeah. I guess your thoughts about the game tomorrow night. What do you see as the at least the final score at 3:37 on a Friday, as we're more than 24 hours up until the kickoff? And your thoughts about the Big Ten last week. Big Ten kind of came out looking pretty good nationally last week.
Yeah, I guess kind of starting with tomorrow's game here. I mean, I kind of think that Iowa's just got too much on the line of scrimmage on both sides. I think their offensive line just, you know, they looked so good last week, you know, and you're talking about Iowa State that gave up so much against Northern Iowa running the football, and they're going up against a bigger, better running team than that. So I really think Iowa controls the game on the line of scrimmage. Iowa State could cause them a little bit of problems on the back seven, you know, defending. I think Brian Peavy's a terrific corner, and Kamari Cotton-Moya is a safety. So I think they might not have a great game passing the ball, but I think running it they're going to. And then with Josie Jewell back, I think they kind of choked the life out of Iowa State running the football, and that kind of I got Iowa winning by a couple touchdowns, 34-20. But I think Alan Lazard's capable of having a really big game, even with Des King guarding him. Now, you know, last week, I think it was a nice week for the Big Ten. Wisconsin beating LSU is really the cherry on top. That was what really they needed. And, of course, the big dogs won big. So, there's a lot of momentum there, going, 12-2 right off the bat. But next week's kind of that week of, what is the Big Ten all about? I mean, you're going to have some really big games. I mean, Michigan State and Notre Dame, Oregon, Nebraska, Duke, Northwestern, Ohio State, Oklahoma. And Iowa gets North Dakota State. I mean, they're representative. I mean, they would be a pretty good Mountain West team. So they're capable of coming to McKinnick and playing really well. So I think next week is probably a better barometer for how good the Big Ten is than maybe last week was.
Are you competing with Morehouse now, or are you still friends?
I'm sure there's a level of competition, but of course we're friends. I mean, that's never changed. I mean, I felt, strongly, and could still feel strongly that, Mike and Mark and myself, that we formed a really good team at the Gazette, and I think the world of those guys and all my colleagues, former colleagues at the Gazette. So, just had a wonderful experience working there and trying something new. But, we're maybe competitors because we work for different outlets, but other than that, very close friends.
No more mean sports editors like Mark Dukes.
Well, whoever hired those guys was brilliant.
I guess I got in too late.
No, there's a podcast up, I know, with you and Mark talking about the game, right?
Yeah. We still do our On Iowa podcast. We shrunk it from 2-1. We did it yesterday, and we're trying to hit it every Thursday. So, yeah, we broke down the game. The Ferentz contract, talked a little bit about Miami as well. So, that's in iTunes at thegazette.com and a lot of other places floating around in space, I guess.
Yep, however that works. I don't want to know how it works, but it's just out there. Scott, appreciate it. We'll continue to read your stuff at Land of 10 and have fun tomorrow night. Stay away from all the drunk people.
I wish I was one of them, but no, I got a lot of work to do. But thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 joining us. Read his stuff out there. 3:40 here on the Friday edition of the program. We're going to turn things over to you out there right now. We're going to get your phone calls and also your texts on the text line, and we will open that up. Talking to Iowa State, your predictions. Just don't throw a score out. We want to know why. Why do you pick that score? Why is it going to be 15-12? Why do you say Iowa State's going to win? Why do you say Iowa's going to win? And we're going to do that when we come back. But we have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away right now. We're going to do that to caller number 5 at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 as the rain pours down here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We'll tell you who our winner is when we come back.
AutoZone presents The Oil Change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. And right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Conventional and an STP oil filter for just $22.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Hoods up, America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions and details in store.
Play for your share of $100,000 in DraftKings free week one contest this weekend. DraftKings is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. That means no season long commitments. Play when you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. Use code DRIVE at DraftKings.com now and play in this weekend's free $100,000 contest. That's DRIVE to play free for your share of $100,000 this weekend only at DraftKings.com.
Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Napa know-how.
Bennzoil Platinum Synthetic Motor Oil for just $4.99 a quart at Napa is filled with super smart oil technology your ride needs. You know, science stuff. But I'm not a scientist, so I can't explain all that. However, I am smart enough to know that grabbing Bennzoil Platinum Synthetic for only $4.99 a quart is a smart deal. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States Pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 9/30/16.
This game brought to you by Shell V-Power Natural Plus Premium Gasoline and the Fuel Rewards Program, where for a limited time you can join and earn 10 cents per gallon rewards after every fill-up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus. Top of the inning.
Wait, hold up, Bill. Did you just say 10 cents per gallon on Shell V-Power Nitro Plus?
I did. Back to the game now.
Hey, look, I just joined Fuel Rewards.
Jim, we're announcing a game.
But it's free.
Join the excitement at FuelRewards.com/ESPN. Offer ends 10/2/16. Minimum 8-gallon purchase of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel savings limited to 20 gallons. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you at 3:43. Congratulations to Mike from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. He is the winner of our Dr. Pepper prize pack, our final one of the week. And we do appreciate Dr. Pepper and Steve Carter, everybody helping us out. Couldn't do it without them. Great, great folks down there, and we do appreciate that. Rain moving through the Cedar Rapids metropolitan area right now, approaching the Iowa City area. Speaking of Iowa City, the APC, Mark, they are live down at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. We're going to be down there tomorrow, but they are there from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. And they're going to talk to Jack Dom. They got a whole a list of great guests that they're going to be talking to coming up, and they've got some hairball tickets to give away all this week, and that includes today between 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Your chance to see at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday, November the 19th, the world-famous hairball, and you can go and get more information at Ticketmaster.com or our website at KGYMRadio.com. Some free tickets to go see hairball this week.
You and I will join Tyler and Todd and Alex at Coach's Corner Sports Pub tomorrow. We will bring you the pregame show for Iowa and Iowa State at 4:30. That's 4:30 to 6 tomorrow afternoon, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, and we'll be on immediately following the game for a little more brief postgame show.
Yeah,
right?
Probably 45 minutes to an hour, but we want to hear from you, Iowa State fans. We want to hear from you both out there. We want to see you at Coach's Corner as well. Cyclone fans are welcome. Sean will welcome them with open arms. I know that. Let's just have a nice kumbaya evening tomorrow. And hope everything goes according to plans.
Good luck with them.
How's our poll question doing, by the way, at KGYMRadio.com?
Poll question is, who wins tomorrow in Iowa City? Iowa, Iowa State, or bar owners, liquor stores, and law enforcement? Right now, it's unanimous for Iowa.
Oh, I thought you meant the bar owners.
I think the spread between Iowa and bar owners at liquor stores and law enforcement is a lot tighter than the Iowa-Iowa State spread. Wouldn't you say?
I would say
so. It's 15 right now, Iowa-Iowa State.
Yeah. That should be a lot of fun. We'll have the call tomorrow at 4:30. That'll be on 1600 AM when we're going with the pregame show on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Should mention as well, we have a terrific football game tomorrow night, Arkansas and TCU from down at Carter Stadium in Fort Worth. That will be immediately following our live pregame show from Coach's Corner. That'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We want to hear from you right now at 319-366-1600. Either give us a call or, Mark, they can go to our brand-new text line out there.
Indeed. Jerry Ask Investment Services on board sponsoring our text line. Thanks to Jerry and all the folks there affiliated with him. Give us a text, 319-366-1600. Let us know. Will the home team finally win a game in this series?
It's interesting because I think we want to hear from me. Who's going to win, Iowa, Iowa State, and why? We'll give our predictions before we set sail here today. We'll do that tomorrow as well during before the boom, the pregame show live from Coach's Corner in Iowa City. One key matchup. Everyone's looking forward to Desmond King versus Alan Lazard. Is that the no-brainer out there, Mark, or is there another matchup you are looking at?
Well, I think as Scott Docterman said, I think this game is going to be decided on the line of scrimmage. An inexperienced Iowa State offensive line against a pretty experienced Iowa defense, defensive ends, linebackers, Jaleel Johnson, Nathan Budgeta. They've all been in the wars. Mike Warren's a heck of a running back, but you and I limited him to 30 yards. And unless Iowa State can move the football on the ground, it's not going to do much for their passing attack. Although I do think I like Iowa State's group of receivers. I think it probably will be a bit effective against the Iowa secondary, but only if Joel Lanning has the time. He can't find Alan Lazard if he's on his back.
True. Very much so. The other thing I'm looking at is the Iowa State offensive line, like you mentioned, versus the Iowa defensive line. At times, the Iowa defensive line looked very, very stout. Anthony Nelson had a terrific game against Miami of Ohio. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. Can he repeat that? Can Matt Nelson come from the other side? Because I don't think Parker Hesse, I think Scott Dockerman hit it head on. I don't think we're going to see Parker Hesse in that game tomorrow, if at all possible. You're right. Joel Lanning can't do anything if he's running for his life tomorrow. If you're an Iowa State fan, I think one thing in that makes you a little bit rosier about the picture going into tomorrow night, you got to get rid of the penalties, because the penalties negated eight plays, double-digit plays, and just put Iowa State behind the chains last Saturday night against UNI. They had big plays, but every time they had a big play, they either fumbled at the end of it or had a penalty that brought it back. Game last Saturday night could have been different.
On the other side of the ball, I think Iowa is going to run the ball until it can't run it anymore.
I would agree.
And I don't know how many passes C.J. Beathard is going to throw, but I doubt all too many.
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines and bring in our caller. Good afternoon. Who's this?
It's Eugene in Cedar Rapids. Hi. You guys knew I called, didn't you? I mean, it's rivalry.
Hi, Gene. How you doing?
Good. I'm with both of you guys. I think Iowa's going to be able to run downhill, and I think they're going to pound them and pound them with Daniels, and then let Wadley come in and kind of, it's going to be like Tony Stewart and Nick Bell days, you know. One guy pounds you and the other guy runs away from you. And I think with the effective running game, that's going to open up our play action passing. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be throwing them long, but I think he's going to be hitting the tight end and some of those, you know, 8-10 yard outs that keep moving the chain to get you ahead of the chain. And my prediction of the score, fellas, and you can write this down, put it on a, you know, mayonnaise jar and pumpkin Wagnalls pork, I've got 42-17.
42-17, Eugene says.
Iowa.
All right. Appreciate the call, Eugene.
Thanks,
have a great
Gene.
Weekend.
Thanks, fellas. Bye.
350. What do you think out there on the Jerry Ask text line?
Yeah, Cyclone Tim weighing in. As long as someone keeps Vodka Sam under control, it's a win-win.
We have not heard from her in a while, and that's probably a good thing.
22-35. If I was Iowa, I would blitz the linebackers like crazy.
I don't see that happening, though. Iowa is not a...
I can see run blitz.
Yeah, they're more of a blitz team now under Phil Parker than they were before, but that seems to be Iowa doesn't blitz first. So we'll see. We'll see.
42-54. I'll take Iowa with the points. Iowa rushing tack and Iowa front seven on D. Cyclone Tim active again. Usually Iowa State plays completely different than they do against UNI. Not because it's their Super Bowl. And we've heard that for years, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, and that's been a lot of the discussion over the years. It's been kind of a quiet Cy-Hawk week, to be honest with you, this year. And I think a lot of the air out of the balloon was from last Saturday night's loss by Iowa State to UNI. Iowa State, they got them. When you have a lot of Iowans on the same football field like this, you know a lot of those guys. You know most of those guys across the line of scrimmage on the other sideline. You're going to play close games. What do they say about Metro games, like our game tonight, Linmar and Jefferson? You throw the records out because you've been playing since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. And that's kind of the way it is with Iowa and Iowa State. They play close games since Hayden Fry retired. There was just a disparage of talent when Fry was here and Iowa was going great guns.
Yeah, knee-high to a grasshopper is pretty small.
That is small. Mm-hmm. That is
very small.
You get my point.
I do.
319-366-1600.
I have not formulated a score yet. You heard on the Carl and Ernie's pick six that I took Iowa and threw the points, and that's 15-point spread. Give me a couple minutes. I'll give you a score.
All right. We'll give you a couple minutes. In fact, we'll take our final break and come back. If you want to join us on the text line, you can do so at 319-366-1600. It is Jim Klass Friday edition coming your way on KGYM.
When was the last time you saw Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Kiss, Van Halen, Queen, Twisted Sister, Journey, Poison, and Bon Jovi all in the same night with a fiery pyro show, video screens, smoke machines, makeup, costumes, fire, and a virtually endless playlist? Hairball puts on a rock concert like you've never seen before. Coming to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday, November 19th. Tickets are on sale now at U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com, or 800-745-3000. Presented by Samuel Adams Boston Lager.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Back at 3:54, talking to Iowa State on the eve of the Cy-Hawks series on the football field. Actually, the Cy-Hawks series gets underway tonight with a pair of matchups. Volleyball going on at 6 o'clock at Hilton Coliseum, Iowa and Iowa State. Hawks won last year in Iowa City. Iowa State will be looking for some revenge. Women's soccer scheduled to go off today. There's a deluge in Ames right now.
Do you have any idea who leads the Cy-Hawks series all time?
No idea. I think Iowa State does, to be
honest
with you.
I don't think one person out there could tell you. I do know the answer because it's in the Iowa media notes.
What is the answer?
Iowa State leads at 6-5-1.
Okay. There you go.
But nobody cares.
Iowa State fans. Iowa fans that follow it, I think they care.
42-54 on the text line. It doesn't feel like a big game because it feels like a big gap between the teams. But us Iowa fans aren't talking too much stuff because it's always a bit of a crapshoot. Iowa State also has won the last two at Kinnick, so the odds are still there. They can come and nip us. 78-54 predicts Iowa, 38-17. 65-98, I don't think you'll see Iowa blitz tomorrow. Why show future opponents your blitz package until you need to?
Yeah, I think that's going to be, and that's not any offense to Iowa State or anything like that. I think that Iowa is going to play close to the vest because it is a non-conference game, and that's kind of been the MO for Kirk Ferentz over the years. If you're Iowa State, you go in there with reckless abandon. I think you're going to see Matt Campbell throw the kitchen sink. I think you're going to see some of the Hayden Fry exotics, if you will. Why not? You got nothing to lose at this point. And I think you're going to see it early. If you're Iowa State, you got to get out to a quick start. You got to get the crowd out of it. You just got to make sure you got some mojo going into it. And just keep that crowd out of it tomorrow.
Karnak, it has come to me.
Yes. What is your prediction? Oh, great one. Would you like your turban? Is that what Johnny Carson wore? I don't know.
Iowa 37-16 with a special team score.
37-16?
Special teams or a defensive score.
And Andy Brodell coming back?
Yeah, I think Lanning's probably going to have an ill-timed pass along the way somewhere.
Okay. You said
37-16.
Fairly close to you. I'm going to take Iowa with the win, but I think Iowa State is going to cover, which has kind of been the MO of this series here at Kinnick Stadium. 31-17. I think Iowa will get the victory. Iowa State may score a touchdown in the last 5 minutes or so to get it down inside that Vegas number.
One more chance to weigh in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Who wins tomorrow in Iowa City? The Iowa, Iowa State, or bar owners, liquor stores, and law enforcement? Go to KGYMradio.com.
Please, everyone, please, please take it easy. Get along tomorrow. Listen into the pre- and post-game shows and listen into high school football coming up tonight. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on the Gym Class coming up on Monday.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe it's your only option. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contact.